In the wake of the devastating Southern California wildfires, organizations like Music Cares, the Entertainment Community Fund, and local community groups have come together to offer crucial support to struggling musicians and artists. And even smaller organizations have chipped in, gathering and donating instruments to help those who lost their livelihoods and their creative outlets in the fires. With this support, artists can rebuild, recover, and ultimately rise above the devastation. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. This is Fox 11 News In Depth. The Los Angeles area is home to many creatives. This is the heart of the entertainment industry, and musicians, actors, and those involved behind the scenes have, in many cases, lost their livelihoods. Music Cares is very familiar with this. The organization provides a safety net of services for the music community, and the wildfires are just the latest instance of a desperate need that the organization strives to fill. Joining us right now, Executive Director for Music Cares, Laura Segura. Laura, good to see you. Thanks for joining us. We've been following the fundraising efforts that Music Cares has been doing to help those who were impacted by the fires. The last figure I think we saw was $24 million. Is that right? And can you bring us up to date on where your fundraising effort is?
Thing. We were at 24 million. We are happy to report we're now at a little over 26 million. The effort continues because the need is great and the need continues. At this point, we have distributed about $10.3 million of that aid directly to fire victims who are in the music community, as well as partner organizations of Music Cares, organizations like Direct Relief, California Community Foundation, and Pasadena Community Foundation, who are able to reach communities, other communities that are impacted by that.
So it's being gathered and then distributed, but can you give us a little more micro idea of how that money is being raised and being used?
Absolutely. So the Music Cares was founded by the Recording Academy, the organization that puts on the Grammys back in 1989. And we've been doing disaster relief since Hurricane Katrina about 20 years ago. So although we do health and human services year round across the United States, we certainly are very engaged when a disaster does hit. And so in early January, as we were leading into the Grammys and the time of year when Music Cares is doing the fundraising for our year round programs and mission, We quickly realized that we needed to pivot to start a disaster relief fund for all of our community here in LA for the terrible disasters that were unfolding, the fires. And so we did that, and we, throughout Grammy Week, it was really special Grammy Week, we pivoted the events that weekend, including the Grammy telecast, to raise funds for Music Cares Fire Relief, for the people that have been impacted, as well as those partnering organizations, to make sure the music community was being helped, but also so that the music community could help everyone else.
And as we're seeing on our screen right now, on the Grammys, that was what you saw. And people gave, people willingly just called that number or sent money into that website?
We sure did, yeah. I mean, we started raising, frankly, right as the fires hit. So we were doing fundraising leading into that weekend, but then certainly on the telecast as well. Wonderful people from across the United States who felt terrible for the people who were being impacted by the fires. They clicked those buttons and they gave online, they shared.
I think that the answer to the following question is probably obvious, but you've been dealing with helping people for a long time. And as you look at what you've had to deal with just since January, how do you rate this?
You know, it's really hard to compare it, just to be honest. It is so tremendous, the loss that we're seeing. You know, when we're still doing disaster relief on the East Coast, the hurricanes were terrible this past fall, as we all remember. So our music communities in Florida and the Carolinas were all really impacted. But that was, you know, flooding. It was a different type of a disaster. So what we're seeing in LA is complete and total loss of studios, of homes, of recordings, of files, documents, historical records of art that had been created or writings. I mean, it's the extent of the loss is really extreme.
It's now, extraordinary. It's absolutely extraordinary. But before we get into one other area I want to talk to you here, mental health, Can you tell me if that money right now is being used to raise the homes from the ground, to start to try to rebuild those homes that were burned to the ground?
Well, so disaster relief takes place in multiple stages. So the first stage is always emergency financial assistance because people are in all sorts of different emergency states. When the disaster first hits, the people are evacuated, people are in the process of losing their home, they don't know the extent of their loss yet. People have to quickly leave and might just be in the clothes that they happen to be wearing that day. They didn't have even any goods with them. And so we need to make sure that they have food, that they have shelter, that they have their basic needs met. So that's always the first emergency reaction we have during disaster, is really assessing that people have shelter, that they have food, and their basic needs met. Then we move into a second round, which is where we are currently, where we go into more in-depth client management and customized, tailored response. And that's really when we're talking to each of the different clients, understanding the extent of the loss, what they're looking at. Some people have total loss of their home. Some people have fire damage. Other people have health issues, or as you are pointing out, mental health challenges facing the terrible disaster and the trauma they've experienced. And so we really, at that point, take a case by case and customize for each individual the way that we can help them moving forward.
I'm glad you touched on mental health, but I want to ask you, why is it that the creative community seems to be so vulnerable?
Wow, great question. And thanks for going that deep. You know, it is very hard to make a living in music. The vast majority of people who work in music are independent contractors, are artists who maybe don't have any institutional support behind them. So they're having to buy their own health insurance or buy their own home insurance. They don't have sort of those traditional salaries or things that maybe you and I have come to depend on. And so if they're barely making ends meet and crisis hits, they're extremely vulnerable for to be able to bounce back, think about it. If you base your life on a gig and you lose something as simple as your guitar and you need that guitar to play, then your career can be severely impacted, your ability to pay for basic living needs for your family and for yourself. So I do think, because there are so many independent workers as well as artists in the music and in all across all the art community, artists and arts communities, they're especially vulnerable in times of disaster and crisis.
Okay, we only have a second. You got a website for people who want to help out?
Oh, well, you know, we'd hope you'd visit us on our website, musiccares.org. Music Cares is working year-round in any community that's impacted by disaster or health or human services crisis. And so we hope you'll check us out and help.
All right. All the best. Thanks for joining us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, hundreds of musicians lost their precious instruments along with their ways of making a living during the January firestorm. Coming up, we'll take a look at how other musicians are helping out. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. Music Cares is a big organization with powerful influence, but smaller grassroots groups are doing their part too. We featured Long Beach's Musique sur la Mer on a previous Fox 11 News In Depth, and we'd like to welcome back the director of the Youth and Community Orchestra, Marcy Sudock. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Hal. Thank you for having me back.
And thank you for being with us again, Marcy. First of all, can you refresh our memory of Musique sur la Mer and what that's all about?
Musique sur la Mer is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We started in the year 2000, and we supply instruments for students in need, orchestral experience, lessons, as well as performances locally and worldwide, both with our professional and our youth orchestras.
Right. Musique sur la Mer is attempting to help fire victims. And tell us what you're doing to help them out and what you're doing to help them with instruments.
Well, there's a lot of help, and I love the help that's pouring in to big organizations like Music Cares. It is so needed as professional musicians. But there are a lot of children who lost their fine instruments, everything from elementary through high school and college students. Oftentimes, those instruments are not insured, and parents had not thought about putting them into their homeowner's policy or getting separate instrument insurance. And we wanted to supply instruments for those people who lost their instruments, primarily for the students. But these are fine instruments, and they have poured in. And these instruments vary from very fine student instruments on up to professional level instruments.
You know, as I would see people who were talking about losing those instruments that they cherished, I thought about my own high school band experience where I played saxophone and wondered what that would be like if I would have lost something like that. All of these instruments we're looking at are instruments that you've gathered with your organization. Tell us how this is being distributed. What are you doing with these? Give us an idea.
Well, the music community has been very generous, from professional musicians to community musicians to educators, who've donated their fine instruments. We have been contacting private music teachers and school music teachers, as well as professional musician organizations. What is the need? They contact us through our website, musicsilomereorchestras.com, MSLMOorchestra.com, and they can donate instruments, or they can contact us if they're in need of an instrument. And we also have studio available for teachers who need to have a place to teach, and for musicians who need a place to rehearse, and we're donating that as well.
You know, Musique sur la Mer is not the only group in a charitable mood. Sam First is a musical venue and a nonprofit organization. It is dedicated to supporting and expanding jazz and boosting the jazz community in Los Angeles. But above and beyond that, they're supporting musicians dealing with our recent wildfires. And joining us right now is David Robert, the executive director and artistic director of Sam First. And thanks so much for being with us, David. And I guess, first of all, I think, many of the viewers are probably not familiar with Sam First. So why don't you first tell us about Sam First?
Sure. So Sam First is a jazz club. We've been existing since 2017. We serve the jazz community of Los Angeles. A lot of traveling musicians come from out of town to play at the club. And ever since last year, we became a nonprofit organization in order to, invest in the longevity of
a 501c3.
Yep.
And so you place yourself in a position to help out struggling artists. And on your website, people can offer to donate or share instruments or even a rehearsal space. What's going on in that space? What's going on with these folks?
I mean, it is a particularly vulnerable community. The musician community, they're such hard workers. They really give their everything to what they do. And if they lose the thing that's most important to them, you know, the thing that helps them actually make their living, you know, we need them to know that we're here to help them in the same way that they've been performing at our club and been, you know, an important part of our community for years.
What kind of response are you getting from the public?
It's been pretty incredible, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because so many people have instruments too, you know, whether it's, we got financial contributions as well, but the instrument program was really great because a lot of people have instruments laying around in their house that they want to see put to good use, you know?
You know, that really is like ripping your heart out when
yeah.
That instrument is your livelihood.
Yeah. It happened to a lot of people and you know, valuable, like, you know, sentimental value, you know, when you find the right instrument, you know.
We're looking at some of the pictures of instruments that you sent us that were, I guess, donations?
Yeah, so some of these were donated. Some of these were volunteered to lend out for an extended period of time. Yeah, some of these, like the one you're showing right now, is actually a house, a living room that somebody was contributing to use as a rehearsal space. Everybody just wants to contribute however they can, and there were quite a few musicians in our network affected by the fires, whether they were displaced for a long period of time and couldn't get back to their home, or if they lost everything, which happened to quite a few.
Does the music community feel a bit like a family?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. Especially, I would say, in the jazz community, it's a very small world, even though there are quite a few of us. we all tend to know each other. And
you've heard a lot of stories, and what are some of the short stories you can tell us of fire victims?
Yeah, sure. You know, one of the greatest bassists of all time here in Los Angeles, his name is John Clayton. His son, Gerald Clayton, is the pianist who's playing in the video that played. But John is a phenomenal, very important musician who lost not only his bass, but a very important historical bass from his mentor, Ray Brown. So all of that was lost in the fires. And, you know, he'll never get those exact instruments back, along with his home and his cars and everything else that was lost in the fire. But, you know, that's just one of the more heart-wrenching ones that, like, we want to make sure John gets a great instrument again, you know.
For those who are watching who might want to help out, who might want to make a donation, maybe share or give you an instrument, what do they do?
Yeah, so there are a couple ways you can help. We have samfirstbar.com. That's our main website. There you can find out information about the club and also the nonprofit. There are buttons on that homepage to support the community. You can also, there are membership opportunities and all that. All of the different ways that we can kind of push things out to the community, we will.
All right. David, thank you so much. So, Marcy Sudock, David
yes,
Robert.
Sir.
All the best to you and your organizations. I know you're working hard to try to get things right for a lot of people who were hurt in all of this. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we take a look at what's being done to help out the rest of the entertainment community as we talk to the head of the Entertainment Fund. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Of course, Los Angeles is home to entertainment industry professionals other than musicians, and that's where our next guest comes in. Keith McNutt is the Executive Western Regional Director of the Entertainment Community Fund. Keith, it's good to see you, and I think it's probably worth mentioning that folks may be more familiar with your organization that used to be called the Actors Fund.
Yes.
And that got changed.
It did. 3 years ago, we changed our name. We got started 142 years ago,
yeah,
and we're a national nonprofit that helps anybody who works in performing arts and entertainment anywhere in the country. So that's radio, TV, film, music, opera, dance, theater, comedy, circus, and all the jobs within those professions.
Well, what has it been tapped to do in the past?
Well, we've been providing life support services, social services, to entertainment professionals for the entire 142 years. We have a nursing home in New Jersey that has helped people since 1902. But more recently, we have been providing disaster assistance since the AIDS epidemic. We provided assistance for the entire 30 years of that epidemic. And most recently, we helped people through the COVID pandemic, through the strikes, through the TV and film recession, and now through the fires. We provided over just about $60 million in emergency grants just since the pandemic started in 2020.
There have been a lot of crises.
A lot of crises. And I think that's one of the things that's so difficult for people in the industry right now, because it's been a progression of crises and people really haven't had a chance to recover yet financially. So the pandemic was really difficult. That was followed right away by the strikes and this long-term loss, 35% reduction in production, as we all know, in Los Angeles County, and now the wildfires.
How have you helped some people? Maybe you can give us an example or two, and how has it turned their lives around?
Yeah, we provide those emergency grants for people's rent, utilities, doctor bills, car payments. So in the first, as Laura mentioned at the start of the show, in that first stage of emergency crisis intervention, it's really about getting people cash because they might not have access to their insurance, their property insurance. They might not have gotten money from FEMA yet. So the donations of clothes, the purchases of food, and just basic daily living necessities. Now those grants are going to help toward rental expenses if they need that kind of assistance. And we know that there's a long tail to every crisis. The money we're raising is going to be spent over the course of the next year and probably a couple of years. That's our pitch always to our donors, is to remember that situations like this have a long, long recovery period.
Of course they do, but how are you raising that money?
Well, you know, we have had a tremendous outpouring of support as we have throughout these last 5 years of crisis. So Netflix, who partnered with us right away during the pandemic, called us the first week and said, we're going to give you $2 million to help people. And that was followed immediately by the Adobe Foundation, Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, Paramount, and the Television Academy all stepped up. And that's on top of thousands of individual people who send us a $20 check, a $100 check.
So when the fires happened, all of a sudden it sort of jumped into another gear.
It does. And we're so used to working in crisis mode that we also direct our social service teams to start developing resources. So we've created an evergreen resource list that's on our website that people can go, and we're adding stuff literally every day. We created mental health support groups. So there's a group that we've got every week called Recovering Together for people who've lost their homes, gone through that trauma, and they might need some time aside from managing all the logistics to just talk about that traumatic experience with other people who've gone through
it. Can you share a story of a traumatic experience?
Oh yeah, we've had people who literally had to run for their lives. They didn't know, they weren't aware that the fire was going to move as fast as it could, as it did. And some people literally ran out of their homes with their clothes on their back, drove as far as they could drive, got into traffic jams, and literally had to run. And that's on top of people who were away from their homes, out of town, on work, and came back and couldn't even get into their neighborhood again.
And so that raises questions, and we only have less than a minute left, about how people can help you, and how much of a crisis is this for you to try to get the money you need to help people who need this help?
It's always a crisis after the crisis,
yeah,
for fundraising, because when it's on the news, thank you so much again for making it, keeping it in the news, people donate. But a few weeks later, a few months later, people start to forget. So our message is to anybody who is affected, we're here for the long term, just as are the people in the coalition. We put together a coalition of 18 different unions, guilds, nonprofit organizations who all help in entertainment. We're putting on a series of webinars to dig into, as you guys have, dig into those topics that are so hard to understand. What's FEMA like? What is disaster unemployment, and how do I get involved in that?
Just real short, website is?
Website is entertainmentcommunity.org. Click on the banner at the top of the page, and that'll get you to our resources, our applications, and how you can donate.
All right, thanks so much. Fox 11 News In Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hell, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehellpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.